Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and today we are talking about the very exciting topic of what do you want to be when you grow up? And how does a kid that grows up in rural Alaska or small town Alaska address that question? What resources are there available to them to help them succeed? So on the phone with me today, we are excited to have John Buchanan of the Galena School District and the Galena Interior Learning Academy. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Shelley?
Great. And then in the studio with me today is Carol Wilson. She's director for the Voyage to Excellence program, also with the Chugach School District?
Correct, with Chugach.
Yep. Great. And then we are super, super excited to have Michelle Vlasoff here with us. She is actually a graduate of the Voyage to Excellence program, and today she holds a position of Shareholder Services Manager for Tetitlik Corporation.
Yep, that's it.
Hi,
We're
Michelle.
Excited to be here also. Thank you, Shelley.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being here. We would very much like to invite you, folks that are out there listening, to call into the program and to share your experiences. Did you grow up in a small town in Alaska or elsewhere? And how did you learn about different opportunities and vocational opportunities and things? And how did you learn how to fulfill your dreams? So in Anchorage, you can call 550-8433, outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752. Or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And we also wanted to share with you that we've got a couple of links on our webpage, too, for Hometown Alaska. So the Voyage to Excellence program folks have just put together a brand new website, so we're excited to share that with you. And then we do have a link also to the Galena Interior Learning Academy website. And then as we discuss further on the show, there'll be some other opportunities to post websites as we learn about other institutions in Alaska that do the same kind of work that our folks here today are here to talk about. So wanted to kick things off by, you know, why is this such an important topic for us? I guess kind of from my experience growing up in small town North Pole, Alaska, you know, it was always tough figuring out, you know, what, well, number one, addressing the question of what am I going to do when I grow up, but how do I learn about those different opportunities and how do I experience those different things that I'm interested in and learn new skill sets? And we used to bus actually through the school district there. They used to bus kids in for half day to go to Hutchison Career Center, where kids had the opportunity to take like an electronics class or like a mechanics class, or, you know, if it was something that you're interested in, you got a chance to get your hands on it and dabble in it. So that's what my guests are here to talk about today, is their programs and how they're able to share these opportunities with young folks. They're coming from all over the state. So Carol, why don't you go ahead and start for us and tell us a little bit about your program. So I think it'd be interesting for folks to know, you know, how you got started and how long you've been around and just, you know, what is the purpose of Voyage to Excellence?
Okay. The Voyage to Excellence program started about 15 years ago in the Chugach School District, and it was designed originally to help high school students make that transition from rural Alaska, small villages, into Anchorage and learn the employability skills and kind of urbanization skills necessary to be successful once they did graduate. Soon after we got started, we realized that it would be better to include more students from across the state. So over the years, we've grown and now have six school districts participating in the program. So kids are literally coming from all over the state. And Michelle, who's here, actually was with the program when it first started, so she could maybe talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, like Carol said, I grew up in Tetitlik, Alaska. It's a very, very small village out in the middle of Prince William Sound between Valdez and Cordova. And when the Voyage to Excellence program started, I was attending high school in Tetitlik, so as a part of the Chugach School District. I was approached by my teacher at the time and, you know, asked if I wanted to participate in this program. And, you know, it made such an amazing difference for my life. They, you know, at that point, like Carol said, they still had a large focus on workforce development, mm-hmm. And so they brought students from rural Alaska into Anchorage, and they taught us all a lot of the soft skills that we needed to be successful as adults. You know, they taught me how to identify potential employment, how to apply, how to interview and successfully get the job, how to navigate the public transportation system so I could find my way to work and back. And it just really gave me all the basic skills that I needed to be successful after high school, just from that transition from high school into adulthood.
So how long was the program for you then? Was it a 1 week or several months or?
It's a several phase program that I completed over 2 years, I believe, how long I was in the program. So there were three separate phases.
Students come in anywhere from 3 to 10 days at a time, and they come into Anchorage and stay at a house that we have here. And, you know, depending on their age, now we bring kids in as early as junior high, depending on the age, they'll stay anywhere from 3 to 10 days at a time during the school year, and then learn the skills, and then they take those skills back to their community and apply what they learned here and apply it back in their communities. And then in the summertime, we also have a 30-day Excel camp, and it's where this past summer we had 60 students come in and stay for the month of July, and we do that at Alaska Pacific University, and it's been really beneficial to help kids really realize that they can go to college, they can do whatever they want, whether it's workforce, you know, straight into the workforce or right into college.
So it's the three phases, and it's kind of length of time is total of how long?
Right. So when they come in junior high, it's 3 days, and it's okay. An introductory phase, mm-hmm. kind of just okay. getting out of the village, learning those communication skills and learning how to meet new people and that kind of thing. And then as they grow through high school, then the phase lengthens. So when they come for phase one in ninth grade, it's it's 7 days, and then phase two is 10 days, and phase three is 10 days also. But so it just, you know, and it they build on the skills from each phase, so it's scaffolded as they go through high school.
Okay, and so this is a little different than what the young folks are experiencing at the Galena Interior Learning Academy. And John, we were hoping maybe you could share with us, how does that program work, and maybe how does it differ from what we've just heard about Voyage to Excellence?
All right. Well, there is there's tracks available for students vocationally. It's also an academic school with your regular core classes. But there's opportunities for students to, you know, dabble in different vocations to see what their interest lies in. And should they consider, like, pursuing, you know, some type of certification or licensure in that, that's also available to them. So in the course of the day that they're at school, there's the academic rigors with the four cores. They have options of, aviation, cosmetology, culinary arts, automotive, and then a lot of your just workforce type skills, like in construction, welding, electricity, computers, some types of finances, and the various programs you can leave with licenses. Food handling cards you can get through the culinary program. With enough hours, you can actually leave away with your cosmetology license as long as you take your state board exams. Automotive, there's different courses of licensure there for them, certification. Aviation, we've had a fair number of students who've graduated with private licenses as seniors. Some have graduated with instrument ratings. Probably our biggest success story in the aviation program is Ben Peterson, who, if you've seen Flying Alaska on the Discovery Channel, he's one of the pilots that flies for Hägglunds out in Unalakleet. And he stops by periodically to chat with the kids and see how things are going and just kind of motivate them. And then, so there's elective courses. The biggest challenge is, you know, we're two campuses, but we're kind of one school. So the boarding school is an old military base, and that's where students have dorms, and there's different programs and schools out there. And so busing back and forth is the challenge, and we do that three times a day. So that way the kids have access to highly qualified teachers in all the core areas, and we just kind of let them see where their interests are. Some of them will come into school knowing, hey, I want to be a pilot, I want to go on to culinary school, I want to do this. Some of them just come from a smaller community that might not have the vocational fields in their school that they're at, and just want to be exposed to it. And that's kind of the program they have. So, yeah, a lot different than the Voyage to Excellence, you know, in the little mini models. I've been exposed to that when I was working in UConn Clickett School District, and they had a lot of that career preparation, resumes, interviews, and that's kind of now integrated into our language arts classes, but very worthy and worthwhile of paying attention to that for our students.
Right. So it's really kind of two different approaches for addressing really the same sets of challenges and then really presenting different opportunities for young folks in rural Alaska. So I was hoping maybe, Carol, that you can talk a little bit more about, you know, your typical students. So maybe a little bit more about where the students are coming from. So it'd be exciting to hear about the different communities that are represented, and then also kind of age ranges. And, you know, why do you think, or why have the students expressed to you the reason that they're there?
Well, right now we partner with six school districts across the state. So we have students coming in from Upiat School District, which is Akiak, Akiachuk, and Tuluksak. And then we have Kuspuk School District, which Aniak, Stony River, all along that, kind of out in that same area. Lake and Penn School District, which, you know, is clear down, goes clear down onto the Aleutian Chain, down to Port Hyden and that area, and then as well as all the way up to New Halen and Port Allsworth in that area. Kenai Peninsula School District has started sending us students, and then, of course, Chugach and Bering Strait. We get quite a few kids from Bering Strait School District. We partner with NACTEC up in Nome, Career and Technical Center. And so students that come through our program, we actually send them on to NACTEC to get the specific career training, like welding and outboard motors or whatever courses they might be offering. And then, you know, we kind of share kids back and forth. So some of the students that have attended NACTEC from Bering Strait School District and Northwest Arctic and districts that are participating in that come down and come to our phases here in Anchorage. So it's really a nice network of kids coming back and forth. And then we also have a partnership with Camp Kickash, which is run by the Kuspuk School District, and that's a firefighting and ETT, EMT program. And so students that have, you know, completed a phase two with us are also eligible to attend those trainings out there and get the certification that is needed, very much needed in rural Alaska.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade. And today we are discussing the really exciting topic of, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, and how do you make those connections and learn about different opportunities when you grow up in small town Alaska or in a rural community? We would love to hear your stories or take your questions on this topic. Again, my guests today are Carol Wilson with Voyage to Excellence and Michelle Vlasov, that's actually experienced this as a student, and then John Buchanan from the Galena Interior Learning Academy. The number to call in Anchorage is 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So in terms of kind of that typical student, Michelle, maybe you can talk about a little bit about your experience. So why did you choose Voyage to Excellence? So someone brought this idea to you and you said, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's why, that's me.
Well, you know, it's just, the, you know, growing up, at least for me and my experience, Tetitlik is very secluded. You know, it's not on the road system at all. And it's just, it's very small. There's not much there, you know. So as a student, as a kid growing up in the village, I wanted to see what else was out there. You know, what else is out there? I know there's more, mm-hmm. so what's there? And so I jumped on the opportunity to come to Anchorage. And, you know what, it's been a little while, so I don't remember my exact mindset at the time other than just really wanting to see what else was there.
Okay. Well, John, how about the folks in the young people at the Galena Interior Learning Academy? Kind of where do your students come from, and you know, what is that age range, and is there a reason for them, or maybe a common reason or several common reasons why they choose to go to the Learning Academy?
Well, anytime we talk with the kids one on one, every one of them has a story, because if any of you have ever been a parent or whatnot, it's not natural to have your kids school away from you at age 14, 15, or whatnot. So there's always a reason. There's a story behind every kid that comes to us. And they vary from, like I mentioned earlier, they want some vocational experiences that aren't available because, you know, when budget cuts hit school districts, you know, fine arts and vocationals are generally the first to go. And so that's one of the reasons. Other reasons are, you know, they like Michelle was saying, wanted to see what else is out there. You know, she was in a small community, and you know, Galena's not a huge community, but we kind of grow when the school is in session, and so sometimes they just want a different perspective on life, and sometimes there's just some home issues that causes the kids to, maybe it's a better environment for them to be in. Some of them actually are doing it because if they live in the dorms here, they're just prepping, like maybe their senior year they come here. A lot of schools will recognize the fact that they've lived in a dorm environment and not require them to live on campus or in a dorms once they go on to school at the college level. So we get some of those that will do that as well.
But where are your students coming from?
Well, we have, I believe it's around 60 different communities in the state of Alaska, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-some school districts. A large population would be the urban areas. We have Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, West Alaska, we're pretty high percentage there, and Northwest as well. And then up and down the Yukon, you know, there's a fair number of the villages. Because it's easy for parents, you know, for kids to go home and visit, you know, it's usually a one-stop flight, you know, 30 to 60 minutes, those living on the Yukon.
Okay, so we've actually have a caller on the line. Cheryl, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, thanks for having me. So I just wanted to mention that I have heard about those programs that we're highlighting today, and that they are all excellent. And there are steps for students to take once they get into the college or university level. I work for a program at the School of Nursing called RAN, which stands for Recruitment and Retention of Alaska Natives into Nursing. And I work with Alaska Native and American Indian students who are going into nursing to help them navigate the system. Many of you have probably heard of ANSEP for Future Engineers. So once you get into the university, University of Alaska is pretty good about having other programs to help those students follow through.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl. And ANSEP, for the folks that don't know, is the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program at the University of Alaska Anchorage. Mm-hmm. Is that right, guys?
I think it's statewide now.
And statewide.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And RAN is based at UAA, but we also have staff and students at other campuses around the university system.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that resource, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your call. So that leads me maybe to this next question of How do you design your program? So how do you choose what to focus on or what skill sets to build upon? And I think, John, maybe we'll start with you at the Galena Interior Learning Academy to learn more about. So I wrote down the list of really great things that you focus on, including aviation, cosmetology, culinary arts, construction. Some of there was just a big list of choices there for young folks. How do you guys design those programs? So how do you choose what to focus on and what to offer?
Okay, well, I think first of all, you know, we should probably give credit to, you know, our former school leaders, you know, 14, 15 years ago when the military base, they were looking at closing the base down, you know, and they were a single-site school district at the time, and there was talk that they would get folded into Yukon-Koyukuk School District. But the leaders at that time said, you know what, we're going to utilize these facilities, we're going to make something for kids that are missing out on something else in life in rural Alaska. And so what they did is they had this vision of starting this boarding school, and it started off very small, you know, 20 to 40 students. And so really what their leadership and their vision created for us was something that was, you know, easily applicable in urban and rural areas. You know, what can we provide that students can take back to their home communities and apply it and be employed, or to take it in anywhere in Alaska? And that's kind of where, you know, cosmetology, you know, that's one thing everybody's going to need a haircut at some point in their life. lots of flying in Alaska. The culinary arts, that's a big area I think that people can gain employment with, especially in the summertime if they're looking for seasonal work and the different touring and visitor centers where there's cooking and stuff required. And so that's where that all started. In looking at where we go now in designing our programs, I think one of the things that we're knocking on the door with is providing a CNA program out here, because the medical field is so big and it's very important to have, I think, you know, native-trained professionals in that field. And it's wide open across the state. They can take it with them.
And so for folks that are listening, John, you want to tell us what CNA is?
Certified Nursing Assistant. With our generation of adults and, you know, parents and grandparents, they're living to be longer, and there's care that needs to be provided for them. And that can be done, you know, in-home care. It can be done at facilities. And, you know, we have a couple of students here who wanted to get into the health field. We don't currently have a CNA program here. So we supported them in, you know, providing some funding for them to go to Fairbanks. They, I think, went to the Hutch Career Center and did the CNA program there. And we worked with their teachers so they could continue taking their academic courses here while they were doing I think it was a 3 or 4 week program this fall. So I think it's important that, you know, whatever it is, they can apply it, they can be employed by it. You know, we've got quite a few young men and women that are in the workforce right now in cutting hair in the Fairbanks, Anchorage, Homer area. And if somebody comes to us with an idea and says, you know, we'd like to do this as a program for the school, we have to look at it and evaluate it. You know, is this something they can use? Is it viable? Do we have the resources to do it? And we don't ever say no very often, but we just need to make sure that it's going to work and it's good for kids.
And so are you having interactions with, like, industry leaders or business leaders, either, you know, in the community of say, Galena, or, you know, statewide, to get a better understanding of what the employer's needs are?
We do, to a limited extent. We need to do a better job of it. We've had some of the different union groups come out here over the past several years through some people that we've met in, like, the Workforce Alaska. But we do need to do a better job of that. ERA Aviation we've been working with them. You know, they've hired quite a few of our kids that have graduated, and with either, you know, private pilot's license or just an interest in aviation. We have an OJT program with ERA here locally, and they'd given us a pretty substantial donation this year, and what that helped us do is to really extend the flying time that our students can get. We hired another instructor that will be up here the end of the month and fly into May when we have some good weather so we can have, you know, two planes up a day getting time. So I don't think we'll ever be done with it. You know, we had the lieutenant governor here today with a couple of different representatives and senators, and one of the things that he said is that, you know, some of the students sitting before him, you know, the jobs they're going to be competing for, 80% of those jobs aren't even defined what they're going to be yet. So, again, if we hear something that we feel is viable and doable, we look forward to do it, and that's why I think it's important that we stay connected with the workforce and business people in the state of Alaska.
So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more from Carol Wilson and Michelle Vlasoff about the Voyage to Excellence program. So you are listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm your host, Shelley Wade. And today we are talking with three great guests about unique learning opportunities for rural Alaskan youth. So if you're a young person and you're listening, or if you're a parent or a teacher or another community member that's connected to a young person in a small community, today we are talking with three folks that have experience in those areas and that represent different programs around the state. So with me today is Carol Wilson. She's the director for the Voyage to Excellence program, and Michelle Vlasoff, who's actually a graduate of that program. And then on the phone calling from Galena is John Buchanan with the Galena Interior Learning Academy. So before we took our short break, we were talking with John about how does the Galena Interior Learning Academy develop their programs and think about different courses to offer. And then, you know, how is there some interaction between, say, the Learning Academy and future employers or current employers? So, Carol, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about your experience there and how I'm looking at this really amazing program flow chart that you guys have. So I'm interested to know how you've developed that flow chart and made those connections between the phases you talked about earlier. And then really, you know, a young person getting a job eventually and what interactions you have with employers.
Yeah, so when kids come into our phases throughout their high school years, we connect them with employers here in Anchorage, which is really, you know, beneficial. One, they learn, you know, it gives kids that real life connection of why they're sitting in the classroom learning what they learned back at home, and just gives them that connection of and spark about what they might want to do when they graduate. We have over 70 business partners here in Anchorage that we send students out on for job shadows and tours and that type of thing. So, and that list continually grows and changes, you know, based a lot on what the students' interests are. You know, if we have, you know, students interested in wanting to be a veterinarian, then we're, you know, that's where we're going to send them for their job shadow. And we've got several vets that we work with in the area, and you know, we try not to flood them with kids, but you know, that's just an example. And you know, basically that, you know, the kids determine kind of our curriculum and kind of how the direction that we go. Another thing that we do in the summertime, which we started, was a summer Excel camp. And originally that camp was designed to help students who were struggling passing the high school qualifying graduation exam that students have to pass in order to get a high school diploma. And so, you know, we brought them in and we really focused on strategies for passing the test, but we also really wanted to make it the real life connection. And so over the years, we've developed strands so that they're actually getting construction, culinary arts, ETT certification, and that type of thing. So it gives them, you know, they'll work in the mornings on their classes, you know, working towards the test, passing the test, but then they apply what they've learned in a real life setting in the afternoon in their strands. And we get them out with employers. You know, Davis Constructor is a huge advocate for our program and actually has taken students on several times over the years, just giving them tours in the construction sites and that type of thing. We just got a lot. Providence Hospital has been a huge supporter of our program and getting kids job shadows in that area. So it grows, and it's a great experience. And I know Michelle, she probably had the opportunity to do the job shadowing when she came in.
Absolutely. It's funny that you used the veterinary example, because I did several veterinary job shadows. That's what I was going to be when I grew up at 16, you know. So yeah, it was really a great experience. You know, I don't know if you provide the students with the list of business partners that you have now, but there wasn't really a list back when I was there. Like I said, it was in the first couple of years of the program. And so, you know, we got out good old yellow pages and flipped through and, you know, had to practice making the business calls, very formal calls to, you know, the veterinarians and schedule appointments and pull out the bus map and find my own routes there and back. And yeah, it was really a unique opportunity. Yeah.
So I know it's been, what you said, over 10 years since you,
we're
not going to reveal ages, but we know it's been a while. But I mean, really thinking collectively about that experience and where you are today with the shareholder services manager position at Titlic mm-hmm. Corporation, mm-hmm. Is there any one skill or experience from your time with Voyage to Excellence that sticks out and you think, yeah, that's one, and there's no doubt that today I'm using that in my current position?
You know, I keep going back to the interview skills, but they really stuck with me over the years. You know, not whether I'm going into an interview myself or whether I'm interviewing somebody I'm hiring for, you know, I still flash back in my head, you know, don't slouch, don't chew gum, don't wear, you know, revealing clothing, and just all the little tips that they gave us still rotate through my head to this day, you know, so.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we're talking with guests and folks that have either participated in or are running some really unique learning opportunities for rural Alaskan youth. And we'd love to hear your stories or take your questions or comments. You can call us here in Anchorage at 550-8433 or outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, John, a question for you then about the folks that graduate from the Learning Academy. Do you have some specific examples of, it sounded like we had one exciting one of a young gentleman that's a pilot and is even on television, which is super cool. But other examples of, you know, definitely the training that folks have experienced there has led to real jobs.
Yeah, well, last year we put together a survey and compiled a bunch of stuff for the past 10 years of our graduates, where they're at, what they're doing, and, you know, with the social networking, that was kind of a new way of connecting with some of these former students, and we had a teacher who was doing a graduate project, and he kind of spearheaded that whole thing. Just recently, a student saw us this winter in Fairbanks, and he's now working for IRHA, Interior Regional Housing Association, and he's doing new construction and remodels and whatnot, and he took advantage of every single vocational course dealing with woods, construction, welding, and electricity. Not necessarily, and a little bit of small engines and automotive, but mostly those other ones that I've mentioned. And he told me, he said, you know, my foreman said that, you know, wherever you got your training at, I should send all my kids there, because he says, you know what's going on. And really a nice compliment, not only to this young man, but to the teachers that have been part of his life for the past 4 years when he left here. He makes great money. He's got incredible references, so if he ever wants to go anywhere else, he can do that. You know, he's got job security because he shows up on time, he works hard, he's skilled and knowledgeable in the field. And that's one of the most recent ones. Lots of the girls in the past 2 years who had finished the cosmetology degree, we have a great teacher who she puts in lots of time on weekends because each of the students needs 1,600 hours by the end of their training to, you know, go before the state board. And, you know, there are some in Anchorage and Fairbanks that just, you know, they've got their own apartments now, they're employed, and they're in the workforce, and they weren't looking to go to college, but those skills that they had, absolutely success for them. And then, you know, just some students who have, in the vocational courses, they have learned a work ethic or developed a work ethic that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go on and work in that field, but because they've had that exposure on, all right, you're expected to do this. You know, if this well doesn't hold, you can't blame it on somebody else. It's your responsibility. And so just kind of the maturity level of students in those vocational courses tends to increase, and I think that helps no matter whether they're in the Marines, whether, you know, working, you know, in the industry somewhere, they go on to college. It's a, you know, get it done attitude, and we have plenty of those examples from kids all across the state. We had a young man who, after he graduated, 2 years later was in charge of a paint crew up on the North Slope. He didn't really paint that much, but he had that work ethic built in him, and he came back and he said, guess what? He says, I'm making more money than all my teachers, you know, make. And you know, but, you know, he's a, you know, great attitude, the work ethic. He races the Iron Dog, he races the Yukon 800. He just says, I can do anything I put my mind to it. And I truly think that's because of the vocational programs that he's been exposed to.
Well, those are some real shiny examples, in addition to Michelle, who's in the studio with us today. But it looks like we've got some listeners on the line. Hi, Jenna. Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. So where are you calling from?
I'm here with, I'm the part of the Voyage to Excellence staff, and I'm sitting here with three students who would also like to share about their experience.
Oh, that would be great. So who are we talking to first?
So first you're going to be talking to Joey, and I'll go ahead and pass it off.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Joey.
Hi, Joey or Zoe?
It's Joey.
Oh, hi.
You are. Yeah.
Hi, Joey. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. It's good to have you online.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you're learning there at Voyage to Excellence.
I've been here since like 10 or 11, and they're talking about, what we do is we talk about career planning. We take job shadows. We go to Palmer, Anchorage. We go everywhere in Anchorage. And, we get to choose on what careers we get to choose from, and we learn about it, yeah.
And so where are you from, Joey?
I'm from Chininga Bay. It's in Prince William Sound. It's a small little village with less than 70 people.
Okay, so this is an exciting time for you right now to be in Anchorage and participating in the program?
Yes, it is.
That's great. So we're going to talk to someone else, it sounds like?
Yes.
Who's next?
Her name is Bonita.
Bonita.
Hi.
Hi, Bonita. How are you?
I am good.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where are you from, Bonita?
I'm from Port Graham.
You're from Port Graham. And this is your first time in Anchorage to participate in the Voyage to Excellence program?
No, this is my second time.
Okay, so you're in phase two that Carol was, you're in phase three that Carol was talking about earlier, right?
Yes.
Okay, tell me something that you're learning in phase three.
We're learning about job shadowing and filling out our resumes and filling out applications for a job.
That's great. And so what are the things that you're interested in being when you grow up then, Bonita?
I'm interested in going to Trendsetters.
Okay, so you want to learn how to do hair then?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks for talking with us today, Bonita. It sounds like maybe we have one more person to share with us?
Yes.
Okay. And who is that?
Hello, I'm Janlin.
Janlin?
Jared.
Hi, Jared. Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Where are you from?
I am from Chignik Lake, and the school district that I am in is LPSD, Lake and Penn School District.
Lake and Penn School District. Okay, and you're in Phase 3 of the Voyage to Excellence program?
Yes.
Okay, tell me something that you're learning in Phase 3.
Some things that I'm learning in Phase 3 are, well, how do you apply for a job and how to make stuff like a cover letter and, yeah, stuff like that.
And so what are you interested in? What's your favorite thing then?
Well, I plan on kind of making my own job, but this is helping me understand what things I'd have to go through and stuff that I'll be experiencing.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you all for calling us very much. We appreciate the phone call, and we'll talk to you guys later, okay? And good luck with the program.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, that was a nice surprise and good to have three young folks that are experiencing Voyage to Excellence. And so, Carol, maybe building on those really exciting voices that we hear from all over the state, can you tell us about some of the success stories that have happened with Voyage to Excellence? We have Michelle here, of course, but other examples of kids that have gone on to find work or just really made connections with a particular skill set where they're successful.
Yeah, first, you know, I just want to point out too, one of the things that makes the program so successful, again, is just having the real life connection, and because of that, we have one of our greatest successes is that we have with the students that come through our program, we have a 98% of graduation rate, high school graduation rate. So students that come in and experience this program, 98% of them will graduate from high school, and you know that we know, you know, that in Alaska that the graduation rate, that, you know, they're struggling, and I think it's, you know, it's not like we have the magical, you know, we're better teachers or anything like that. We just give them the connection and get them out in the world to see the world. Michelle, again, has been a great success story. We have many. Angela Totemoff.
Yeah,
from
I personally work with at least four people that have graduated from the Voyage to Excellence program at the Tetitla Corporation here in Anchorage. I know of two other back home. I think there's two working in the IRA Council back home. One of them's working for the school district back home. So, yeah, you don't even have to leave the village or the rural setting for these skills to help better your life. These are definitely useful skills, whether the kids decide that they want to stay home or they want to leave and venture out.
So that's a really important point, that once young folks have had the chance to kind of experience Anchorage and other parts of the state, that it doesn't mean that they have to work in Anchorage or work in Fairbanks or Juneau. They have an opportunity to work in their home community. And Michelle, you just gave us some great examples of, you know, working for the tribal council or working for the school district. John, how about with the young folks that you've worked with there at the Learning Academy, examples of kids going back home to their hometown and finding a job given the skill set that they learned through the Learning Academy?
Right. Some of them, not necessarily certain on the hometowns, but a lot of the corporations, and with the corporations as they are today, they've kind of expanded, you know, their business practice a little bit and to help with the shareholders. Like she was talking with the Titlick there, she works in Anchorage, but it's expanded. We have students who are part of ASRC, Doyon, some of the corporations down in Southwest, and you know those work type skills have benefited them, and some of them that have gone on to college might come back in the business aspect of it. We have a couple that are working for ASRC that are engineers and working on different phases of projects that are pretty exciting, and we get to catch up with them sometimes on Facebook, and they let us know how they're doing. And but that was the whole mission of this district, I think, is when we decided to give them the opportunity to learn something, is it something that they could take back home and do? We have a young man who is working for our district right now, who is from the Lotto, graduated from the school here, very mechanically inclined, good work ethic. He's working for our maintenance department now. However, on the side, he can fix anything. You know, he's great with electric motors and gas engines, and here in town, people hire him all the time to take care of his stuff that's not running when he's not, you know, he's got a full-time job, so... there's definitely that out there and available for some of those kids to do, just the work ethic.
Great. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and we are talking about unique learning opportunities for rural Alaskan youth and other youth. So I wanted to share a little bit about there's other programs in Anchorage, too, for young folks that are exploring what they want to be, want to learn new skill sets. And some of the examples that I just thought of are the King Career Center, for example, which has those vocational opportunities. There's also, I know, a lot of the schools have relationships with UAA and APU, which is wonderful. But I think why we wanted to focus on rural youth today is, you know, sometimes those opportunities aren't available in smaller communities. And so how can young folks learn about, you know, what are some of the possibilities out there in this big world? So I wanted to talk about a little bit about the challenges. So what are some of the difficulties of running a program like Voyage to Excellence? And so not only kind of the challenges of, you know, working with a number of young folks, but what are some of the difficult things, you know, working with young folks that are from a rural community, or just other things that challenge you when you're trying to succeed with your program, Carol?
Well, one thing that has always been a challenge is just the weather. And when we're bringing students in, you know, just being flexible, knowing that sometimes, you know, like, for example, this phase three that just started 2 days ago, we just got the last students in last night just because of weather challenges and delays in travel and that type of thing. So that's always a huge hurdle for us. But, you know, we always manage to make it work. But and then, you know, again, you know, one of our challenges, too, is just the cost of the program. And, you know, we are not funded by the state at all. So our funding stream comes pretty much from federal and state grants and then the Alaska tax credit, vocational tax credit. So that's another huge challenge for us.
And your program is expanding, I understand.
Yeah, we're looking at, right now we serve about 250 students a year come through the program, and we're looking to expand that to 600 for a couple reasons. One is we have waiting lists. You know, we continually get calls from folks wanting to send students, and we just don't have the space now. We're kind of bound by our size. And then the other reason that we want to expand is to help help with the cost and, you know, kind of the economy of scale and be able to make it affordable and serve a few more students and give students more students across the state the opportunity to come in and experience what we have to offer.
So you have a combination, it sounds like, of grant funding and then some other partners that contribute?
Yeah, that's right. We have some federal grants that we've always had throughout the years. Right now, though, with the way the economy is, you know, grants, you know, they're getting harder to come by, and you know, more competitive. There's a lot more people applying. Right now, we have Tetitlik Corporation and Chiniga Corporation and Chugach Alaska Corporation have done the tax credit, which has been very, very helpful for our program. And it really allows for students in their region and their shareholders to be able to come in and participate in the program. So we're always looking, you know, we're developing a marketing plan to go out and reach more of those types of corporations and businesses that can do the tax credit.
And I'm reading and Senate, or just read recently that from last year's legislative session, that Senate Bill 84, actually, there was a sunset extension for certain corporate tax credits for the educational contributions. So that sounds like what you're talking about, where there's that opportunity for bigger businesses to contribute, and they receive a tax credit as a benefit of that. And then also, John, maybe same question to you in terms of the funding piece for you folks. Things work a little bit differently for the Learning Academy. You want to talk a little bit about how you're funded?
Sure. Well, we're funded on the state student funding measure or formula that the rest of the schools in Alaska are. We do receive room and board stipend for each of the students in the boarding school. I think it's $986 per month for that. That's doubled what it was, and that's been for the past 2 years. And we're hoping that extends. You know, cost is a great big thing. You know, our energy costs and utilities costs are, I mean, they would just blow your mind away. So we're looking at, in cooperation with the community, the city, local Native corporation, of having a biomass boiler back on the boarding school, because that's the biggest user of resources in the community, and that should help, you know, alleviate the need for diesel fuel. We've got about 5 years of fuel left over that we got from the military on the after the BRAC hit us, and so right now that's where our funding comes from, and you know, there's some additional monies that come in because of our homeschool program, our idea in Interior Distance Education of Alaska, which has about 3,800 students in. But we'll also share those students. I think currently we have about 8 or 10 of them here now for 4 to 6 weeks, and they're exploring different vocations and seeing if they're interested in that. So there's a little bit of stipend money there, but overall it's the what, you know, every other school in the state gets for their so it's tough managing that. If we don't get some relief in the energy, you know, so if we can't get that biomass, it would be pretty hard to keep that facility going out there on the boarding school.
So it was great news for you that with Senate Bill 84 that passed last year, that there was that doubling of the residential boarding home stipends. And it looked like that was for FY12. Yeah, that's great for FY12 and FY13. And it says here for, aside from Galena, also Nenana and Lower Kuskokwim School District. So that's great news. So aside from the funding, it sounds like the funding piece really related to energy issues too. What are some of the other challenges that you face, especially like as the academic dean of students? Just what are some of the issues or common challenges that you see some of your young folks facing when they come to Galena?
Well, when they come, just the academic challenges you're asked looking at?
Yes, sure.
Okay, well, because we have a huge state and, you know, each community has different resources, no fault of their own. So, you know, Algebra 1 in a community in the Southwest might look different than Algebra 1 in, you know, the Northeast. And so getting students from almost 60 different communities, one of the biggest challenges, all right, how can we best align their schedule based on where they are at with their knowledge or content base? So we try to do an initial evaluation at the beginning of the school year, the first week, and through Dora Doma tests, they're kind of the computer generated, gives us a base of what their abilities are. And then from there, we try to get them in the appropriate math and writing courses. Those are the two big things that we try to do. We can also utilize that, you know, in the spring, those tests we can give again to see what type of growth they've got. So the challenges are that with different schools and their, some of them are going away with the Carnegie units and on the leveling system, that's posed a pretty big challenge for us to what does that student look like in a Carnegie unit credit system, where in our school district, if you come in with more than 14 credits, then you just have to meet the state minimum of 21 credits. If you're here with less than 14 credits, you have to graduate with 26 credits. So some of those school districts that are on the level system, working with the counselors from those home communities with their formula that they have for levels, and we might get a student that, you know, it won't be a 0.25 credit, it'll be 0.13 based on the number of levels they completed. That's probably our biggest challenge, that and getting the students in, placed appropriately in the classes. We do our very best over the course of the summer to chase down transcripts and, you know, doing records requests, but a lot of times the school districts aren't fully staffed in the summer, so we oftentimes don't get those until the in August. So we're making a big push this year to try to have all of our enrollment done by the 1st of June, so we
Great.
Can have a majority of that, and we're just getting ready to kick off a campaign the end of this month, students called Students as Recruiters. You know, the students we have here are of a quality ilk, and we are looking for them to go out and get their friends that, you know, have been kind of on the fence about, you know, what do I want to do in life? And so there's a lot of incentives and stuff. I think there's some iPads and iPods for, you know, the people that recruit the students and get them in, get all the paperwork in, because it's in the best interest of those students that when they start school next fall, they hit the ground running, and we're not still trying to figure out what class they should be in or waiting for a records request.
Well, that sounds great.
Bring in more enrollment.
That sounds great, John. So we have just a short minute before we have to wrap things up. So we're sad that we have to close it down. But Michelle, I wanted you to share just maybe a little nugget of insight that you would have for a young rural Alaskan person, like any advice that you have to them as we're closing out here the last 30 seconds or so.
Don't wait for anybody else to do it for you. You know, you might not know what else is out there, but you know that there's more, and if you're interested, ask somebody. If you don't know where to start, they'll help you find that place to start.
That's great advice. And Carol, any thoughts that you would have for a young person that's listening in today?
We're always, you know, like I said, we're expanding, and we want to open up to more students, and so students who want to be a part of the program, come on down.
Great. Well, this has been a great hour. Thank you so much to my guests, Carol Wilson and Michelle Vlasov from the Chugach School District Voyage to Excellence Program, and John Buchanan from the Galena Learning Academy. And coming up next week on Hometown Alaska, author Andromeda Romano Lax joins host Peter Dunlap-Scholl to talk about her next novel, The Detour. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Shelley Wade.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.